Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, December 31st, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington on this New Year's Eve. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe promises levied unpaid doctors $2 a day for transport a day before going on strike.
The figures which have been circulated are insulting. They are not even waiting for us to mention on air. But we understand that they want to give doctors $2 to fill their cars so that they can go to work.
Zimbabweans suppress anger in the face of economic hardships.
Yes, Zimbabweans are very angry. The problem we have is that their anger is not being mobilized, their anger is not leadership, their anger is not being organized.
We will take a closer look at different sporting disciplines in 2015.
For these stories and much more, coming up, stay tuned.
Zimbabwe is bracing for an industrial action tomorrow by state doctors and nurses after the cash-strapped government only offered them $2 per day as transport fee, having failed to pay their salaries and bonuses this month. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu looks at the crisis that is unfolding in the country.
The president of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, Dr. Fortune Nyamande, says there is no going back on their industrial action as the money being offered by government to meet their transport demands is an insult.
I think the figures which have been circulated are insulting. And, you know, they are not even waiting for us to mention on air. But we understand that they want to give doctors $2 to fill their cars so that they can go to work. So surely, how can someone go to a service station and put a liter of fuel? You know, a respectable person like a doctor or a nurse in our society. I'm sure this is insulting, it's not well thought out.
Dr. Nyamande says the promise by the government to pay health workers on the 5th of January is incensing them. Reached for comment, the executive director of the Health Services Board, Dr. Love Mombengeranwa, said he was on holiday.
Can you talk to Dr. Tab? Unfortunately, I'm driving. I can't retrieve a number. But if you phone our offices, they'll tell you. I'm on leave. I've been on leave for the past 2 weeks.
Dr. Mbengeranwa referred all further questions on salaries to Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, who, together with Health Minister Dr. David Parirenyatwa, were not picking their mobile phones.
And what you're telling me, for me, is news, because what we've been told, I saw the minister the other day persuading them to come to work. Today I saw a headline saying that they'll be given money to go to work and so on. And the whole thing is treasury, between treasury and the workers, it's a bit more complicated. I'm only speaking from the press, so I don't know what's going on.
But permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Dr. William Manungo, had this brief response when Studio 7 reached him for comment.
Can you call me maybe in about 2 hours while I'm driving?
Meanwhile, as the situation gets desperate, Central Bank Chief Dr. John Mangujga yesterday met with representative of the workers in the public service. Secretary General Raymond Majongwe of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe says Dr. Mangujga arranged the meeting.
Yes, it was a meeting at the DS of Dr. Mangujga, and I would want to thank him at least whether he did it on his own or he was sent by the politicians. But the most important thing, the meeting went ahead.
On the issue of bonuses, Majongwe says it is clear from their interaction with the central bank chief that they are bound to be very long delays. Dr. Mangujga confirmed holding the meeting, saying they are routine as he prepares for his monetary policy statement next month.
The purpose of the meeting of yesterday was to share ideas of where we are going and where we are coming.
Workers, though, said they would have wanted officials from the Ministry of Finance to be present. Dr. Mangujga admitted as much. At the same time, in a statement, Public Service Association Chairperson Jeremiah Virindi said government's inability to communicate effectively had made things worse and created an atmosphere of mistrust between the employer and workers. Studio 7 reached the Education Minister and Acting Labour Minister Lazarus Dokora, and this is what he had to say in our brief exchange.
Well, but I'm the Acting Minister.
Yeah.
I've not seen that statement.
Yeah, but what is the situation like?
No, you can't ask that because they sent a statement to you and not to the acting minister.
No, their complaint is that they have tried to engage government.
Zulu, let's be logical. If you have some material at your hand, which I don't have, then you ask me to comment on material which you have at your hand. That's not fair.
I wanted to just verify that. Are you willing to engage them?
What do you mean, am I willing to engage them? That's what government is there for.
Because all government associations, Dr. Dokora, are saying they have not been able to meet with the government and that they are joint negotiating.
But if they are sending messages to you and not to government, what are you expecting?
They are saying government is only communicating with them through the media. That's their major complaint.
That's precisely my point. You are the one who is saying you've got the correspondence from them, and then you're asking me to comment.
But government is willing to engage them.
Rational. No, have a wonderful New Year's Eve.
It is understood that the number of government workers increased from about 315,000 in 2009 to about 554,000 last year, and with government coffers dwindling due to the economic crisis, the situation is set to worsen. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington, D.C.
For a nation born out of a bloody war for freedom from white minority rule, many find Zimbabweans' suppressed anger in the face of the current hardships intriguing. Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalele gives us more.
For Zimbabwe's president, Robert Mugabe, 2015 can be described as a great year. Highlights include hosting several high-level international delegations to Zimbabwe, including Chinese leader Xi Jinping, being recipient of the controversial Confucius Peace Prize, which he rejected, and of course, chairman of both the African Union and the Southern African Development Community, SADC, responsibilities that took him out of the country a lot. But for many of the country's citizens, the year was not so great. Increasing unemployment turned many into harassed street vendors. Demolitions of illegal structures displaced hundreds. Food shortages subjected many to hunger, and the final straw, delayed salaries and bonuses left many destitute and desperate. But in the nation's streets, peace and calm, hardly the signs of the public outrage displayed even in neighboring South Africa, where senior consultant Piers Ashley Pigou of the International Crisis Group is based. He says while South Africans, who endured apartheid, admire their neighbors' silent resilience and adaptation to the harsh realities, many are puzzled.
South Africans look at what Zimbabweans have had to endure, and they scratch their head. They do not understand why Zimbabweans are taking this.
London-based political analyst Clifford Mashiri also finds this curious.
Civil servants, they have no pay. They are told you'll be paid in January. You finish the whole of December, you know, without pay. And even when that pay comes, there is a deduction you don't understand. That's for the teachers. Others are still in a limbo. And the rest of the economy is, you know, right on its knees. And people don't act. They just promise the president, we are going to strike next year if you continue doing this.
The internationally recognized firebrand activist Jenny Williams of the Women of Zimbabwe Arise, or WOZA, says the absence of public outcry is the strength and yet weakness of many Zimbabweans.
We are very peace-loving, very calm, and try to be as laid back as possible. On the other hand, I do feel that years of colonialism and then of dictatorship has made people still have this attitude that someone is going to come and fix it for them.
Calm and peaceful as Zimbabweans may seem, Director Pedzisai Ruhanya of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute says this should not be mistaken for acceptance or resignation of the situation.
Yes, Zimbabweans are very angry. The problem we have is that their anger is not being mobilized, their anger is not leadership, their anger is not being organized and is not being directed to ask the government to address the problems that people are suffering.
With so much going wrong for so many in the country, from shortages of cash to buy even the most basic of commodities, power and water cuts that have many planning their lives in advance, Pigou says many are stuck in the moment.
waiting and also very much and for a number of years now in a situation of survival and survival tactics. And part of that has translated into not forcefully taking up any kind of oppositional position against the ruling party, ZANU-PF.
Add to the mix, Pigou says, ZANU-PF's seemingly triumphant 2013 election victory over the opposition Movement for Democratic Change took much of the regional and international spotlight away from Zimbabwe, leaving citizens feeling they're on their own.
Since the elections of 2013, the SADC region has effectively gone to sleep on Zimbabwe, thinking that it has somehow resolved the fundamental problems that led, of course, into the disaster of the 2008 economic decline, and then, of course, the violence that led to the government of national unity in 2008. None of these issues, the fundamental causes of these problems, have been resolved.
Another possibility, offers Williams, is that of paralysis from frustration of empty and broken promises. But Williams says the build-up is starting to rip at the seams.
There's been so many broken promises. It's just horrific. And how many more broken promises are we going to put up with as a nation? For how much longer are we just going to keep smiling and smiling?
So, left to Zimbabweans to bring the change they desire so desperately, what seems to be the holdup? Analysts say it comes down to two things: lack of clear leadership and fear of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Tune in tomorrow for their take on this. For Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimyake Mwakalielie. Hello, I'm Ndimyake Mwakalielie with Studio 7. Tell us how you are. Are you hopeful about 2016? Us your audio and video messages on WhatsApp. You may receive a radio and calendar just for doing so. Remember to include your address when you send us the messages. Our number is 1-202-465-318. Again, 1-202-465-0318. We're also on Facebook.
Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow and find out in part two of the report we gave you earlier on what's making Zimbabweans to hold back.
And now we want to thank those of you who responded and sent us your festive season greetings. Here are some of the messages.
Hello, Studio 7. My name is Gift from Bulawayo, your side. I would like to say happy, happy new year to the Mundicha family and the Ngube family, not forgetting Studio 7 presenters and all my beloved friends that include Abraham Mateta, Libat Lupasha, Meshuli Ndlovu, Msomi Mlilo, Thomas Marigoto, Jacob Gwenangurube, Killian Dube, Robert Malunda, and all those who know me, I thank you.
I would like to say hi to all Studio 7 presenters. My name is Pilani Ndlovu. I would like to say Happy New Year to my wife, Susi Swetebe, my sons, Perfect and Prefect, my daughter, Presence. I can say 2016 will be a very worrisome year due to few rains this year, which will cause hunger and poverty in the family of Zimbabwe. And I don't think that the Zimbabwe government will be able to serve the people of Zimbabwe. I thank you.
We want to hear from you out there, so please send us your audio and video messages on WhatsApp. We'll give out some calendars and radio receivers to those who send us these messages. And so include your address when you send us the messages. Our number is 001-202-465-0318. Our number again, 001-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook.
You're listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
some Zimbabweans predict that the economic situation will worsen in 2016.
And what a year for Zimbabwean sports. All was not well in 2015. Stay tuned for more details.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The security is tight at New Year celebrations in cities around the world as authorities confront threatened possible terror attacks against public celebrations.
Pakistan says investigations are underway to determine whether a group of suspected militants in detention is linked to Islamic State.
Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari has told reporters he is willing to negotiate with the kidnappers of the so-called Chibok girls who were taken from their school dormitories in 2014.
And Belgian police have arrested a 22-year-old man alleged to be linked to the November 13 terror attacks in Paris that left 130 people dead.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
The festive season is normally a time for family gatherings and generally to share food with loved ones and friends, but for many Zimbabweans, most events so far show that there is little to celebrate in a nation almost crippled by a non-performing economy. Our correspondent Safari Njema speaks to some residents of Chiwota and Domboshawa, where people feel that the situation is likely to worsen in 2016.
Zimbabweans have been riding a political and economic roller coaster during the course of the year, with upheavals on the political and economic fronts. The uncertainties have been felt by those in urban and rural areas. Addressing a Southern Africa Political and Economy Series SAPES Trust Policy Dialogue Forum in Harare recently, President of the People's Democratic Party, Tendai Biti, said 2015 was a difficult year for Zimbabweans.
It was a year of toxicity, a year of intolerance, a year of conflict, of fratricism, of division. If you like, a year of hatred. We have seen the increase in the decibels of intolerance and hatred right across the length and breadth of the country. And to me, the existence of this culture of intolerance, culture of hatred, which also does not serve the ordinary men and women on the street.
Biti said the country is now in an economic depression with serious consequences for industry.
The characteristics of a depression are there. In this economy, you have massive unemployment and deindustrialization. We are witnessing that. 91% of our people are now employed in the informal sector. In the brief period between the 17th of July 2015 and now, over 40,000 workers have lost their jobs.
67-year-old Amos Murape from Mungate village in Domboshava says the economic crisis is being felt in the area. He says most people are failing to send their children to tertiary institutions.
My friends and my brothers, my sisters, my relatives, they've got some kids who are not going to school. So I feel pity just because those guys or girls, they can keep me tomorrow, but they can not keep me if they are not getting anything. How can they keep me? They can't.
48-year-old Mary Murape from the same village says corruption, which was widely reported in the cities and towns, has not spared rural areas.
Everyone is now corrupt. It's like no one is straightforward. But when I was looking for a Form 5 place, I went to 12 boarding schools. All they were saying 5 A's for the child to get a place. So I went round until I gave up. Then I had to go to Uzumba. But for me to go to that Uzumba is because my auntie who knew the headmaster. So it's like if you don't know anyone, life is difficult.
Mary says the girl child is being affected most by the unemployment and lack of disposable income among villagers.
They just go to school form four, then that is the end. Because either the parents don't have money for them to go to further their education, or sometimes they are not exposed. Because it's like most of them, they were born here in Domboshava, they grew up in Domboshava, they don't know anywhere. So the life they know is just the life that they have seen in Domboshava.
The mother of two says, in the year ahead, politicians should focus on simple solutions, such as constructing vocational training centers in the area to empower both young girls and boys with skills. It's not only the education sector which is worrying people in this part of Zimbabwe. A community social worker in Mutenda village in Chihota, Jericho Mandere, says authorities should now consider food aid for the area because of drought.
In the rural, the picture is simply clear. There's no rain, there's no food, so it's going to be very difficult. But if we unite as a community, maybe there's an opportunity for us. But otherwise, other than that, there's no future.
He says politicians should stop fighting amongst themselves and work with the people to solve problems in rural areas.
It remains to those who have the ball, whether they played this or that way. But otherwise, if they keep on struggling or fighting among themselves, then here at the bottom we don't have a chance. It's probably a mixture of the two. If we can mix the political game and the economic game and they work together compatibly, we have an opportunity.
Political analyst Brian Kagoro says at this juncture, both the ruling party and the opposition should put aside their differences and find solutions for problems facing the country.
We are fighting over positions, not clarity of the ideas that shape a nation, ideas that shape an economy. So everybody is worried about which strong man, which more thuggish character will outdo the other. So it doesn't matter which thug you put in power. We still need to have better to have food on our tables. We still need to have jobs created for the 300,000 or so people that we produce out of high school every year. Otherwise, we're creating a criminal state.
Award-winning Zimbabwean writer Petina Gapa says, in 2016, Zimbabweans should take full responsibility for their destiny instead of putting their fate in political parties.
How do we take back the struggle, you know, as Zimbabweans? Do we leave it to the political parties? Do we leave it to ZANU-PF to sort out the succession mess? Do we leave it to the MDC to maybe come together and unite? How do Zimbabweans take back the agenda, and how do Zimbabweans themselves drive the change that is necessary? There's something really scary that's happening to the fabric of the society. It's being torn, and it's being torn in such a way that it might not be very easy to patch it up again. It's a crisis about who we are as a people. You know, who do we want to be as Zimbabweans? What is our vision for ourselves as Zimbabweans? And I think that is the agenda that we need to take back.
Despite these challenges, Zimbabweans still hope for a new year full of joy and happiness. Will this happen in 2016? Only time will tell. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I am Safari Njema.
And in sports news, the year 2015 has been tougher for Zimbabwean sports, with most of the country's sporting disciplines failing to make a mark on the international front. Reporter Michael Cariati chronicles Zimbabwe's disastrous path and future prospects.
From cricket to rugby via football, the year 2015 was a year that showed that Zimbabwean sport was in crisis. Team sport was a big disappointment, as not only the cricket team but other national teams also turned into punching bags of the international sporting world. However, the mighty Warriors did the nation proud by qualifying for the 2016 Olympic Games to be held in Rio de Janeiro, although that too was nothing to gloat about. The women's soccer team qualified after beating only two teams, Zambia and Cameroon, following the withdrawal of powerhouses Equatorial Guinea. This resulted in the mighty Warriors being denied the Team of the Year Award and annual National Sports Awards, with that honor going to the netball team. But still, the mighty Warriors will be there with the best the world has to offer, and Captain Felicitas Mzongoni is excited about the adventure of going to Rio.
I feel so much excited because this is our first time to qualify for the Olympics. It's our first time in history.
There were, of course, some successes in individual sports like boxing, swimming, Special Olympics, and bodybuilding. Kirsty Coventry won 3 gold medals at the All Africa Games, while Helen Costa Sinclair won the Miss International and Miss Universe titles in Italy, and later on was crowned Zimbabwe Sportsperson of the Year. Not to be outdone was boxer Charles Manucci, who retained his World Boxing Council silver title belt after systematically knocking down Gianluca Fraser in his own home country of Italy. His Zambian handlers, Oriental Boxing Promotions, represented by Chris Maluna, immediately announced they would be challenging British World Boxing Council bronze title belt holder Amir Khan.
Our next target is Amir Khan. I'm going to go to WBC convention in Cancun, China, to make sure that I go and bid for Charles to challenge Amir Khan. That is the route we are going for.
Sadly though, Manucci has parted ways with Zambians, but has decided to go it alone. There were celebrations too for the Zimbabwe Special Olympic athletes who went to the World Games in Los Angeles. The Zimbabweans brought back 12 medals, 3 gold, 3 silver, and 6 bronze medals. Nyasha Derere was one of the athletes who brought back a gold medal.
I enjoyed the place. To me, it was like heaven on earth. Everything, the environment, everyone was cheering for us. I never knew nor dreamed that in life there are other people who are so loving, so caring. As I experienced, everyone cheering up for me, signing autographs of other people.
The winds of change also blew in the administration, and blown away by the wind when Zifa's Kathbe Dube, who was fired by the Zifa Council, and Zimbabwe cricketist Wilson Manase, who lost his post to Ngoni Mukhuhlani in an election. Dube has since been replaced by Harare businessman Philip Chiangwa, who on his part received the confidence of the same Zifa Council with a 40-vote win over Trevor Kehosiju, who could only manage 12 votes. Before his departure, Dube said the Zimbabwean football family was very ungrateful after financing the national team from his own pocket on a number of occasions.
Otherwise, I just told my boys, just enjoy your football. No pressure. We don't have any pressure. What for?
Chiangwa, however, has promised milk and honey for Zimbabwean football. He says he's going there to do a national service, not to waste his time.
I'm a man of action. Through my board and the Zifa Council, to make sure that the Zimbabwe flag and anthem plays at Qatar 2022.
Football, though, was characterized by tragedy following the death of 3 Zimbabwean greatest footballers. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thanks, Michael. We'll give you part 2 of this report tomorrow. Don't miss it right here on Studio 7.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Praxidis Jeremiah and Marvelous Mhlanganyawie, will be talking with you about your experiences in 2015 and the coming year.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
Now to recap today's top stories.
Zimbabwe promises a livid unpaid doctors $2 a day for transport a day before going on strike.
And Zimbabweans suppress anger in face of economic hardships. Don't miss this story again tomorrow here on Studio 7.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington, wishing you a happy new year.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a happy 2016. Good night, Zimbabwe.